This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me next week to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, The Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. We will be previewing this weekend's three-game set against the Tampa Bay Rays. Yeah, Tampa Bay Rays. That's what they're called. I will preview the pitching matchups and see how the hitters have done against certain pitchers and let you know any news that's happening. Seems pretty quiet for a Friday. Let's be thankful that that's the case. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Yankees. So the big news today, I mean, I guess it's big news, even though I just said there wasn't big news. Is this big news? I don't know. Nick Nelson is opening today's game. Michael King has been recalled from the alternate site, so you may be seeing him pitching tonight. And let's get into the matchup right now for tonight. Nelson will be used as an opener. They're not expecting him to come out and throw six or seven innings, although there are a few guys in the rotation that they're not expecting that from. I'll refrain from being obnoxious, or try to, even though I just was. So tonight's game, 7:05, Yankee Stadium. Very exciting. First time the Rays are here. Game is on YES, and out of market, it's on MLB Network, so if you don't live in New York, you can watch it on MLB Network, and it doesn't say that there's a delay, so it's probably going to be live. How exciting. So tonight's matchup is the aforementioned Nick Nelson against Michael Wacha. Now, Wacha returns to a starting role after pitching behind opener Brent Honeywell Jr. the last time out against the Yankees. He gave up three runs in four innings, all three coming in his first inning of work, and then he retired the final nine batters he faced in order. Nick Nelson, this is his first career start. He'll be followed by Michael King. Nelson has faced Tampa Bay in relief four times. He's struck out five over four innings. So let's see how the Yankees have done against Wacha. And yes, I'm tempted to do the Fozzie Bear Wacha, Wacha, Wacha. Oh, there I go. DJ LeMahieu has three hits against Wacha in his career. The only person who's faced him a lot is Jay Bruce. And in 13 at-bats, he has one run batted in, and he's batting 154. So nothing to write home about. Brett Gardner's faced him six times. He's hitting 333. And let's see, who's after that? Oh, Rougui Odor has faced Wacha four times, has one home run, a run batted in, is batting 250. So yeah, they haven't really faced him. The Yankees are looking to turn their fortunes around because they started off the series against the Blue Jays on a high note and then lost the final two games. And even worse, lost the final one on a walk-off home run by Bo Bichette, who had already victimized them earlier in the game. So yeah, it wasn't a fun week for the Yankees. They're hoping to turn things around against Tampa, which is a tall order, even though both Tampa and the Yankees aren't doing that great right now. As I mentioned already this week, I just find it funny that people are freaking out because I believe the Red Sox, the Royals, and the Mariners are in first place in the East, Central, and West in the AL. And I think Jeff Passan tweeted something like, just like we all expected. And, you know, I know he's doing it as a goof, but there are some people who are taking this way too seriously. And as I keep saying, it is too early. It's April 16th. Tomorrow, there is no pitcher listed for the Rays, but Jordan Montgomery will be facing off against the Rays. That is a day game. It's a 1:05 start. And on Sunday afternoon, it is Gerrit Cole against TBD. I don't know how TBD performs, but I guess we'll find out on Sunday. So Jordan Montgomery, which he made his last start against the Rays. He allowed 4 runs on 5 hits. He allowed 2 walks in 5-plus innings. And he also hit Austin Meadows 2 times. So that's something to look out for. As for the Rays against Montgomery, there's a number of them that do okay. Randy Arozarena, not shocking. In 4 at-bats, he has 2 home runs. Because of course he does. Mike Brasso is, 3 at-bats, 1 home run, 2 runs batted in. He's batting .667. Austin Meadows is batting .667 in 3 at-bats against Montgomery. Maybe that's why he hit him. I'm kidding. I don't think, and I said this last week, I don't think Jordan Montgomery purposely hit Austin Meadows. Not at least the first time. I don't know about the second time, but I don't know. He was all over the place that day. He just didn't look good at all. Didn't look comfortable. I really don't think he was throwing at him. And I would call someone out if they were purposely throwing at someone, like Chapman against Brasso last season, which was ridiculous. He nearly killed him. So Sunday, Gerrit Cole, the only Yankee starter who likes to pitch more than 6 innings in a game, he settled in his last start after a rocky beginning to retire the final 15 batters he faced in the only win the Yankees got over the Blue Jays this week. He has a 1.52 ERA in 9 starts with Kyle Higashioka behind the plate. That's including the playoffs. I don't see why not. I don't see why Higashioka would not be in the game tonight. And as for the Rays, not tonight, Sunday. And as for the Rays batters against Cole, Yandy Diaz does well against Cole in 12 at-bats. He's batting .417. Mike Zunino in 21 at-bats is batting .190, but he does have a home run off Cole. Let's see. Randy Arozarena has only faced him 2 times. Manuel Margot, 16 at-bats, he's batting .250. Austin Meadows does not do well against Cole in, it's a small sample size. It's only 9 at-bats, but he's batting .111. So yeah, so far in the season, Cole is 2-0 with a 1.47 ERA and 29 strikeouts. And I told you, those 29 strikeouts in his first 3 starts matches the same number of strikeouts that David Cohn had in his first 3 starts in 1997. It's been a while since that happened, and of course it's Gerrit Cole. So hopefully the Yankees will do better with their home fans in the stands. Although I have to say, when they were in Tampa, every time the Yankees did something, it sounded like they were in Yankee Stadium, which amuses me highly, mainly because the Rays won the pennant last year. Why aren't their fans going to the games? Oh, I know why. Never mind. It's because St. Petersburg is a pain in the rear end to get to. But why are all these Yankee fans going there? In a moment, I will let you know if there's any other news aside from the exciting Nick Nelson opening Michael King following news that came out earlier. But first, this episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or a simply beautiful conversation piece. They're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight and fairly priced so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. I have to say, I looked these rings up, and I'm not a big ring person, although I should be. People have told me I have very nice hands. But there's one ring by Lola Fenhurst that is so pretty. You should look at it. So go to BlueNile.com and check it out. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So thanks to a tweet that I saw earlier of Jorge Posada hitting the first home run in New Yankee Stadium way back on April 16th, 2009, I figured I would tell the story of April 16th, 2009, when I decided to buy myself a legend seat to go to opening day at the new Yankee Stadium. I will explain this quickly. I was laid off by NBC after nearly working for them for 10 years. I got a fat severance package, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to sit in the rich people seats just because I can. I will say, I did not get seats behind home plate. I wasn't crazy enough to spend $2,500 on a ticket. That would have been ludicrous. I will tell you, I will be transparent, plus it was 12 years ago, who cares? I spent $625 on my ticket. I was in the fourth row, just beyond third base in section 027. And what I didn't know was, I didn't know how to get to the seats. I hadn't been to the stadium yet. I wasn't at the exhibition games on April 3rd and 4th against the Cubs. My brother had gone to one, and he took pictures of our seats. They moved us out into the outfield. The old stadium, we were right above first base in the upper deck. In the new stadium, they put us in the last section of right field in the lower part of the upper deck, section 305. Not terrible, just after sitting in one vantage point for 10 years and then switching to the outfield, I'll admit it took me a few games to really be able to tell what was going to be a home run and what wasn't going to be a home run. I got the hang of it. But anyway, so I was walking around the lower part of the stadium. I got there really early so I could walk around and look at everything and be in awe of how clean everything was. And I couldn't figure out how to get to my seat. So I went up to someone who looked like they worked there and I said, oh, you know, I'm sitting down in 027. How do I get down there? And she said, oh, you have to go through the suite entrance. And I said, the what? And she walked me over to the Legend Suite entrance. And this woman dressed in a very nice outfit was giving people instructions. I got a bracelet. She was, you know, telling everyone about the suite. And you get the food here. There's a bar here. You can go through your seats down there. You know, talking about drinks and food and ordering from your seats if you want to. And I just was standing there saying, what? I had no idea. Because Old Yankee Stadium had the old club, but it was nothing like what the Legends seats are. It was unbelievable. So I go into the restaurant part and I got steak. There was steak, there was seafood, there was all this stuff. It was like 10:30 in the morning. They opened the gates early for everyone. Surprisingly, the Yankees were actually pretty accommodating on that first opening day. And I was sitting by myself and eating steak with horseradish sauce, which was fantastic. I love horseradish sauce because it clears out your sinuses. But yeah, it was really good. So this older man comes and sits. He's, you know, can I sit here? I said, sure. So he sat across from me and he said, can you believe this place? I said, I know. I keep staring at everything. So he explained to me that he bought his ticket last minute on StubHub and was able to get a legend seat for only $200, which pissed me off because I paid $625 for mine. But we were just both talking about how unbelievable the new place was and how fancy it was. And, you know, I got to my seats. They were really good. The weather was perfect that day. It was probably like 65 and sunny. You know, Kelly Clarkson sang the national anthem. They had a whole big ceremony at the start of the game. And as I said from the video, Jorge Posada hit the first home run, but the Yankees didn't really do very well. You know, CeCe was a little iffy. Then Demarso Marte came in and gave up like 6 runs, and it wasn't great. And I didn't even see that because I had other friends who were at the game, met up with them, and while we were talking by the food court, the Yankees gave up a bunch of runs because we looked at the scoreboard. We're like, what the hell happened? So anyway, it was a fun day. Ordering food from the seats was great because I'm so used to being in third class up in the upper deck that it was odd being in first class with the rich people. But not only can you order food from the Legend seats, and I'm sure it's still like this 12 years later, you could look at a catalog, and if you want to buy a jersey, you could give your information to the waiter or waitress, and they would go to the team store and pick up whatever you wanted from there. It was fantastic. I had some sort of truffle fries, but they were more like chips. but they were fried chips. So good. It's the only time I've sat in the legend seats. It was totally worth it, even though they lost. But it was just, I couldn't help but stare at the stadium the entire time that I was sitting in those seats, because I was just, I couldn't believe that there was a new stadium. And that series, by the way, against Cleveland, that was the same series 2 days later, because this was a Thursday. The Saturday game, when Chinming Wong and Anthony Claggett combined to give up 16 runs against Cleveland, and Cleveland won 22-4. Does anyone else remember how bad the 2009 team was? Because they were bad at first. They spent all that money on those free agents. They trade for Nick Swisher. It's the new stadium. And they looked awful for the first while. That was the year they started off 0-9 against Boston. And people were like, what? They can't beat Boston. What's happening? You know, Hal wasted all this money on these guys that won't do anything. And yeah, so it's sort of similar to this year. I feel as if people are overreacting a little too much to the Yankees and how they're doing right now. As I said in the beginning of the show, people are also overreacting to how well other teams are doing. Things will balance out. I promise you that. In a moment, I have some thoughts about a new report that came out about the Mets and their sexual harassment problem in that organization. But first, let's switch gears and talk about something good, like Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar ever. It comes in a ton of awesome flavors. My favorites, coconut almond mint brownie, coconut brownie chunk, double chocolate. Cookies and cream is really good. Birthday cake. I mentioned this the other day. Birthday cake. Covered in white chocolate, covered in sprinkles. It's a little messy, so be careful. So good. Built Bars are great for the health-conscious person. They're great if you want to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and they're great for the keto diet. If you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that means next, not first. So if you're a Built Bar fanatic and have bought 100 boxes already, you still get the 15% off. One more time, let me recommend some of these flavors, because my goodness. The coconut brownie chunk is the one that won their March Madness brackets, and totally deserved. I took my first bite into that bar and couldn't believe it was good for me. Mint brownie is good. Salted caramel. Raspberry. Raspberry is covered in dark chocolate. Most of the bars are covered in dark chocolate, but the combination of dark chocolate and raspberry is so good. So again, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You can bet on the NBA, you can bet on NHL, you can bet on baseball, you can bet on all sorts of things. Things from around the world. Different sports from around the world. I didn't even realize how many places had basketball leagues. Bet online covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. So if you're still watching shows like The Masked Singer, or if you're into the Oscars, you can bet on them. You get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly 2 decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. So the Mets had another game postponed. This time they're out in Colorado, and they arrived in Colorado last night in the middle of what looked like a blizzard. So it's not even rain out, it's a snow out. It's as if the weather is saying to the Mets, nope, you're not playing, you're going to have another 60-game season. They'll be making things up in a doubleheader tomorrow. I believe it starts at 5. I guess that's 5 Colorado time. But the Mets have more problems than snow delays. More stuff is coming out about the sexual harassment problem that the team had, or has. Not that they're the only team, not that sports is the only industry in which this is a problem. It's rampant everywhere. I said this on my roundtable with Gabrielle Starr and Javier Reyes months ago, but I almost can't remember a time when I wasn't sexually harassed by a man. The earliest instance of it that I can remember, I was 9. Do you know what I looked like at 9? I was about 4'9", 4'10", about 50 pounds. I was a stick. You could pick me up and throw me. I was just, there was nothing to me. And my neighbor's dad said something gross to me, honestly, that was sexually charged. And I looked at him at 9 years old and thought to myself, well, that was inappropriate. And what's worse is you could tell that he had no issues saying that sort of thing, that he probably said that sort of thing all the time. He had a smirk on his face as if he did something hilarious or did something fun. And I will never forget that. That was 1984. Think of how long ago that was. And I still remember it. It's etched into my brain. So it's not just a Mets problem, but the Mets are the ones who were exposed for having the problem. And they are the ones who were written about once again in The Athletic. According to the report, Sandy Alderson rehired communications executive David Newman last year despite two women warning the Mets president about Newman's past behavior. One woman told Alderson that Newman was a creep. The women went to Alderson detailing Newman's behavior in an attempt to stop the hire. That behavior includes constantly discussing women's appearances and bullying a woman over her pregnancy, according to The Athletic. Alderson's response was to bring back Newman, then complain that anyone had the audacity to report on the allegations against him and others. This is from the Daily News. This is what Alderson said. That's what honestly I think is happening with these articles. People are getting executed, including women, by the way, for reasons that are unjustifiable. These articles that Alderson is referring to includes a run of reporting over the last few months about rampant sexual misconduct by Mets leadership. Jared Porter, the GM that Alderson hired, sexually harassed a reporter with dozens of unwanted text messages while an employee of the Cubs. He included a picture of an erect penis. After he was fired, Porter, Alderson outed the nationality of the reporter, which ESPN had gone out of its way to keep private, and admitted he hadn't spoken to a single woman while vetting Porter. Again, this is from the Daily News. Mickey Callaway, the manager Alderson hired in 2017, was such a persistent scumbag toward women who covered the team that he was known internally as D-I-C-K Pick Mick. More evidence emerged Friday that Callaway's behavior was widely known in the Mets front office. By the way, Mickey Callaway is still employed by the Angels. He has not been fired yet. If someone is complaining to you about someone being a pest, someone harassing them, someone bullying them, and you have more than one person coming to you with this issue, why would you ignore it? And what was Newman's punishment? Alderson promised the women who warned him about Newman that he'd make him knock it off. And then he was hired that same day. Mickey Callaway's behavior was reported by 5 different women. 5. And he's still with the Angels. They claim they've been investigating him. But then you heard nothing about it. And he's still employed by them. So this is still a problem. Baseball still doesn't know how to solve it. There are certain people in certain positions who need to be trained on this stuff because it's obvious that they can't handle it. Namely, Sandy Alderson. And you know what? Sandy Alderson seemed like a pretty chill, cool dude. I was at BP's event in 2017 at Citi Field. I was a writer for BP at the time. Alderson headed a panel. He was talking to the audience. He was very affable, very smart, and he just seemed like a cool dude. And to hear all this stuff about him, basically brushing off these women, telling someone to knock it off, no, because guys like this don't just knock it off. It's a pattern. As we've seen with Mickey Callaway. It's all just very frustrating. And don't think that your teams, depending on who you are listening to this, because I know not only Yankee fans listen to this, but Yankee fans heed this warning. It's not just the Mets. There are plenty of teams where this is probably happening. I wouldn't be surprised if something came out about the Yankees. You never know. Anyway, my point is, take these stories seriously. If someone comes to you in your personal workspace and tells you about harassment like this, please listen to them. And it's not only women. It's non-binary people. It's gender fluid people. It's agender people. Trans people. Men can be sexually harassed by other men. But the common denominator here is that the men are the ones doing the harassing most of the time. So something needs to be done about that. And not just a PowerPoint slide presentation that tells people how not to sexually harass. Maybe vet people before you hire them. Find out if they're a sex pest before you hire them. Doesn't seem that difficult. So to recap, 3-game series against the Rays begins tonight at Yankee Stadium. Nick Nelson will be the opener. Michael King will come in after him. Tomorrow, Jordan Montgomery. Sunday, Gerrit Cole. Oh yes, Michael Wacha will be starting for the Rays tonight. Don't know the matchups for Saturday and Sunday. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Fantasy Baseball. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans or baseball fans. We'd really appreciate it. Enjoy your Friday, enjoy the weekend, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.